Evening, folks. My name is Rick. I'm out here from a church in Greenfield with my friends, and we're reading the scripture and talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to start off by saying we have a box over here with free Bibles. They are whole Bibles, Old Testament and New Testament. If you need a Bible, if you don't have one, maybe yours is lost, maybe it's worn out, maybe you just need one, second one. We got Bibles free of charge. Just walk up and grab one at any time. You don't have to wait or ask for those. We also have gospel tracts and information about the Bible that we'd be glad to give you for the asking, free of charge. Just if you want to know more, have someone explain something to you, we can talk to you one-on-one. If you want someone to pray with you, we can pray with you one-on-one. I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which the Lord, which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was spoken of them concerning this child. This is a very familiar story. This is what we often call the Christmas story. It's one of the most well-known and common passages in the Bible. If you ever watch the Peanuts Christmas special, Charlie Brown, they quote part of this passage in that movie, and they talk about the Christmas story. And this is just an announcement of the events that happened surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. In verse 1 and verse 2 it says, And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Now when it talks about being taxed, what it's talking about is a census that was taken for taxing purposes. And they were all commanded to return to the place in which they were born, the place in which they originated from. We see here God preparing the world for the event of the birth of Jesus Christ. He is preparing the world by bringing people to the place they need to be for this to take place, for prophecy to be fulfilled. We also see in secular history God preparing the world by the conquest of Alexander the Great. In just the few short years before the birth of Christ, Alexander the Great went through and conquered most of the known world. By doing this, he spread the Greek language throughout what was known as the Roman Empire, what became known as the Roman Empire. By doing this, he created an ability for the gospel to spread, like he did in the book of Acts, as after Jesus returned to heaven. They went through preaching the gospel in one language, in the Greek language, throughout the Roman Empire. It was the conquest of Alexander the Great that set the stage for all that to happen. And so here, in verse 1 and verse 2, we see the stage being set for the birth of Christ. We see that all these people returning back to their villages in which they came from in the first place. A funny thing about the prophecies concerning the Messiah was, the Bible says that in the Old Testament he would be both a Nazarene and a Bethlehem in Judea. Now, Nazareth and Bethlehem are nowhere near each other. How could both be true? Well, the answer is found here. He was raised in Nazareth, so he was called a Nazarene. But because of the census that was taken, his family returned to Bethlehem, where he was born. Therefore, both prophecies were fulfilled because God set the stage. So oftentimes we find secular things, such as a census or a tax, are actually fitting into God's plan. God is setting the stage for what he is going to do in the world and in the affairs of mankind. The world was expecting him. In verse 25 of this chapter, I haven't read it yet, it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel." So we see this man, Simeon, he was in the temple, he was waiting, he'd been promised he would not see death until he saw the coming of the Messiah. We see that fulfilled here. There was a prophetess named Anna who was in the temple and said, day by day, waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Throughout the Bible of the New Testament, as Jesus taught, people would say, is this the one that should come? Is this the one? We're expecting Messiah to come. Are you the Messiah? When John the Baptist was put in prison, he sent messengers to Jesus to say, are you the one that we are to expect, or should there be another one we're to look for? And of course, Jesus answered him that he was the one. The world was expecting it. Daniel prophesied 500 years before this time that the Messiah would come within a certain time period, 483 years from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem. That time was nearing a close, and so people were expectantly waiting for what Daniel had promised. They were expectantly waiting for the Messiah to come. The wise men that came from the east, the Bible says, they said, we have seen his star, and we've come to worship him. In the book of Numbers, there was a prophecy concerning a star that would rise up in relation to the Messiah. And so they were eagerly waiting. They were looking for the sign of the Messiah. They were looking for his sign in the heavens. When they saw it, they followed it to the place where he was. They were eagerly expecting him. Many had been waiting for the coming of the Messiah, and here he was, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came according to prophecy, according to promise, and for a purpose. He was first of all born to those to whom it had been promised. In verse 4, it says, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." By being born to Mary and Joseph, by Mary and Joseph being married, Jesus fulfilled prophecy concerning those. That was a prophecy from Isaiah that the Messiah would come not to the rich, not to the great, not to the notable, but to the poor, to the brokenhearted, to the captives. Recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And he said, this day is this fulfilled in your ears. He said, I am the one. I am the one that was spoken of. I am the one that was prophesied about. The scripture spoke of me. He told the Pharisees, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. He says, the scriptures spoke of me. He said, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he spoke of me. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see his day and saw it and was glad. He came for those to whom it was promised. He came for the reason promised. Verse 11 and verse 12 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Isaiah chapter 53, written hundreds of years before Jesus Christ, tells why he came to shepherds in Bethlehem that day. The Bible says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. The Bible says, he bore our iniquities. Just as the angel announced, unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He was born a Savior. He was born to die. His whole mission from the time he was born to the time he died was not to have a family, to not to have a big career, not to have notoriety, not to have a lot of money. His plan from the moment he was born was to live his life and to die for sinners. Not for sins he had done wrong. He had done nothing wrong. He was born to die for you and for me. He bore our sin. He was punished in our place. In the story of Abraham and Isaac, God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, the promised child. And as they marched up the hillside, and they got there, Isaac told Abraham, he said, "Here's the wood and here's the fire for the burnt offering, but where is the lamb?" And Abraham said, "Son, God will provide himself a lamb." Abraham was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, the death of the Messiah. When Jesus said, "He rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad," that's what he's talking about. He deserved the robe of glory, the finest in the land, yet he was wrapped in simple cloths. The only robe he received on earth was the robe of mocking at his crucifixion, along with a crown of thorns. He was the king of the universe. He created, sustained, and owned everything. He deserved the highest honor and the highest glory, and yet he was mocked, ridiculed, spit upon, beaten by his own creation for their sins, for their wrongdoings. That's why he came that day in Bethlehem. That's why he came and appeared to those shepherds and to those wise men and to Simeon and to all who were expecting him. This king, this promised Messiah, once rejected and ridiculed, now offers his grace to you and to me. He's coming back to take his rightful place for those who will accept him, for those who will trust in him, for those who will receive him. For those who don't, he brings judgment and misery and merciless punishment. You say, why? Because he's evil? No, because he's just. He must punish our sin. But he has already himself suffered for sin, suffered for sinners. And now he offers by nothing more than his own grace, no mercy that we deserve on our own part. By his own grace, he offers a full and free pardon from sin if only we'll repent. When you die, it's too late to make that decision. It's too late to turn to God. It's too late to repent. He's offering it now. The preaching is going out now. The Bibles are available. We're available. Don't let another day go by without thinking of eternity. If you die tonight, where will you spend eternity? If you don't know, it's that important to make it right, to make it known, so you can know right now if you die, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to have a right standing with God. Jesus Christ was born that day, not for anything he could attain, but for us. He lived his life for us. He suffered and died for us, and now he offers us his grace. We don't have to take it. We don't have to accept it. We don't have to listen to anything I'm saying. But I'm saying that he's making it known to you right now. No excuse on the judgment they will ever do to say you didn't know. You know what God demands of you. You know what God has done for you. Thank you, folks. Have a good night.